It's my plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam become more elevated than the rest.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends one time durood or salutation or salawat upon me, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, once again we welcome you into this beautiful silsila of Madani channel, Blessings of Quran. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in this silsila we will discuss few ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah. Ayat number 58, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And recall when we said, enter this city which is Jerusalem and eat from it wherever you will in abundance. And enter the gate with bowed heads or while prostrating, saying, forgive us our sins. We will then forgive you your sins and we will give added reward to the doers of good. The city which is mentioned in this ayah kareemah is Al-Quds or Baitul Maqdis, or in English we say Jerusalem, and or it could be another city which is called Ariha, which is closer to Baitul Maqdis, whereby Amalika, that nation, used to live, and when they were defeated they emptied their town and their homes and their houses. And that place was such that fruits used to grow a lot, very agricultural land, very fertile land. So they were ordered to go there. And they were said that there is a door for that city. So you enter from that door. And that door was for them like the door of Kaaba. So if they enter that door, or if they prostrate, or if they make sajda, that would become the cause of forgiveness of their sins. So Bani Israel were ordered to enter that door while prostrating, while making sajda. And from their tongue, they should say hitta. They should keep on saying hitta, hitta, hitta. Hitta was actually a word of istighfar. So this way, they were asking that, O Allah, forgive our sins. And they did not accept both the orders. The first order was to enter the door while making sajda, and the second order was to say hitta. So they did not practice upon both the orders. So what actually they did? They started dragging themselves on their bottoms. They did not follow both the orders. So instead of entering the door while prostrating, they entered by dragging their bodies from that door. And instead of saying hitta, they used another word as a joke. They said habbatun fi sha'ratin. Instead of hittatun, they said habbatun fi sha'ratin, which means a grain is in the hair. And because of this mockery, because of this joking, punishment was sent upon them, and that was ta'un, that was a plague, and because of which thousands of Israelis died, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry upon them, and He sent His azab and He sent His punishment upon these people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 59, فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رِجْزًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. But the wrongdoers changed the word to a statement other than that which had been said to them. So we sent upon them a punishment, a plague from the sky, because they were definitely disobedient ones. This punishment which is being talked about in this ayah karima was very severe, and that was ta'un. Ta'un is a plague. Because of this sickness, 70,000 Israelis were killed. We are talking about ta'un. There is some guidance in a hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam regarding ta'un. So it would be important for us to know and understand, if ta'un happens or takes place, what should be the reaction of Muslims of that area. Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said, undoubtedly, ta'un or plague is a punishment which was sent down upon the people who were before you. So if there is ta'un anyway at any place and you are there, you should not run away from that place, from that city. And if you're not there, then you should not enter that city. It is very clear to understand that if you are already there where the plague is, don't leave the city. And if you are not there and ta'un or plague has happened in that city, then you should not go and enter that city. And in another narration, Nabi Akram Nur Mujassam sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, ta'un is the remains of the azab or the punishment of previous ummas. And when ta'un happens, when this plague takes place in your place, in your city, in your town, do not run away from there. And if it happens in another city, you should not go there. And in another hadith, Ummul Mumineen, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about ta'un, about plague. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that ta'un is a kind of punishment upon whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires, He sends that punishment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this ta'un as mercy for the believers. There is no believer who can be caught up in ta'un or in this plague, as long as he stays in his city with sabr, with patience. And he must know and understand, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for me, that is going to happen. And no calamity, no difficulty, and no pain can reach me if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not planned that for me, if that is not written in my taqdeer or in my fate. And if he stays there, and if he dies, he will get the thawab of a martyr. He will become shaheed. Then, in the ayat number 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْ نَدْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَا عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. And recall, when Musa alayhi salam prayed for water for his people, then we said, strike the stone with your staff. At once, there gushed out from it 12 springs, and every group or tribe knew its drinking place. Eat and drink from the provision of Allah, and do not go about corrupting the earth with mischief. When Bani Israel did not find water in Maidane Tiyya or in the field of Tiyya, and they requested Hazrat Musa alayhi salam to make dua that they can get water. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam made dua, and he was ordered that he should hit that rock, that stone, with his stick, with his staff. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam hit his staff or his stick on the stone, and 12 fountains were gushed out from that stone, from that rock. Because Bani Israel were divided in 12 different tribes, so each one knew which spring is theirs and which spring is their drinking place. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, there's something important to take note of. And that is that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam showed this miracle. Water came out from the stone. But the mu'jiza, the miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is much greater, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out water from his blessed fingers. Stone is the category of earth. It is the part of earth. For water to gush out from stone is not unusual. This happens, and even we can see at many places in the world that springs are coming from the stones, from the mountains. But opposite to that, to take out water from fingers, there is blood in it and there is flesh in it. There is no possibility for water to come out from fingers. If you puncture a finger, then only blood will come out, not the water. So this miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is so unique, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took out water from his blessed fingers. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat, a true ashik and lover of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reformer of this beautiful deen and the Muslim nation. He says it very beautifully. Ungliyan hain faiz par, toote hain pyaase jhoom kar, nadiyan panjab rahmat ki hain jari, wah wah. Subhanallah. From this ayah kareema, we learn something very important. That to seek help from Prophets alayhimus salam, and for Prophets alayhimus salam to help those who come to them for help is proven from this ayah kareema. And there are many happenings, many incidences took place in the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. People used to come with their problems, with their miseries, with their difficulties, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would solve their problems. So he is the problem solver of the creation of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are several ahadith which tell us and indicate. We will quote few. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that my father, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr bin Haram radiallahu ta'ala anhu, passed away. And he was indebted. He took money from people, he did not pay fully. And the son wanted that if those people whose money his father owed, if they can forgive some amount, or if they can make it less, then it would be easy for me to pay their debts. And those people were approached and they refused to do that. Now he's sitting with a problem. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam helped him. He solved his problem. And how he did that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that go and buy some dates. So different type of dates, different categories. Pile them up at different places next to each other. And I did that. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he said, you weigh them and give to the people. And I started doing that. I was weighing and paying to people as their debts, as their qarz. And I kept on giving till everybody's debt was paid out. And the amount of dates which I kept originally was still there. Nothing became less from that. So this was indeed the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the fact of the matter is that when Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in trouble, where did he go for help? He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for help. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not let him down or sent him empty handed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam attended to his problem and resolved it and solved it till his problem was over. And Hazrat Salim bin Abi Ja'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports from Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu that on the day of Hudaybiyah, people were very thirsty. There was a bag of skin in which there was water was in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in that bag there was some water, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making wuzu with that water. And Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, came and they stood in circle around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, "What happened? Why are you standing like this?" Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, said, "Ya Rasulullah, we don't have water and it's difficult for us to make wuzu and we cannot even drink. We have only little water which is in that bag which you are using for wuzu. So we are in difficulty." So Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his blessed hand in that bag, in that bag of water, which is called mashk in Urdu. And the water started coming from the blessed fingers of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba Ikram say, "We all drank water, we all made wuzu, we all performed our namaz with that wuzu." And Hazrat Salim bin Abi Ja'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "How many people were you at that time?" He replied, "If we were 100,000, that water would have been enough for all of us. But we were only 1,500 people." Subhanallah. This too tells us that when Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in used to have problem, they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for solution and for help. And we also learn from this hadith mubarakah that if you have a shaykh, you have a spiritual leader or spiritual mentor who is a pious person, an alim-e-deen, a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, then you can discuss any issue, any problem with him. Must not shy away, because these friends of Allah Azza wa Jal are appointed to help you. So you need help, go talk to them, they will help you. And besides human beings, as far as our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, even animals will come for help. Even stones, even trees, I mean, other than human beings, other creations will also come and seek help from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu says it very beautifully. "Yahi karti hai chidiyan faryad, haan yahi chahti hai harni daad. Haan isi dar par shutran nashad gilae ranjo ana karte hain." Then they are said, "Kulu washrabu, eat and drink." So these people, people of Bani Israel, they are told that you are getting heavenly food, manna and salwa. You should eat that. And now the spring water is there. You drink that water. And you are getting this without any hard work. It is the fadl and the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now you got the bounties. You got free food prepared that comes for you. And you got water, drinking water, good water, healthy water. And now, don't forget something. That don't go around and roam around and make fitna and mischief. And don't get involved in sins. And this is the order for every ummah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you rizq. He gives you sustenance. He provides you. And you should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why you go around and make fitna and mischief and cause problems on the earth. So In this ayah kareema, it is not said to them, don't use the rizq of Allah. No, in fact, they are being ordered, consume the rizq of Allah, eat, drink, but refrain from haram eating, from haram earning, from stealing, from robbing, from riba and interest, from other haram means, gambling, this and that. So eat halal, drink halal, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you. And do not make fasad by not making shukr of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. In other words, that if you don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are not grateful, you are a mischief maker. You are a mischief monger. If you want to be obedient slave of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, earn halal, eat halal, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing you that risk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse number 61, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَكِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا قَالَ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ اِهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون.
And recall when you said, O Musa, we can never be satisfied with one kind of food. So call upon your Lord to bring forth for us some of the varied produce of the earth, such as vegetables and cucumbers and wheat and lentils and onions. He, the Musa alayhi salam, said, would you exchange what is better for what is less? Go back to Egypt and there you will find all that you have asked for. And they were covered with humiliation and poverty and incurred the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal because they disbelieved in the signs of Allah and killed the prophets alayhimus salam unjustly. This was because they were disobedient and were exceeding the limits. From this ayat, we understand that it was in their nature to move towards declining, or they had inferior complex. I mean, they were given better things, things without working for, without any hard work. But they were running towards the lower side, they were running towards the mean side. So there are some people, it doesn't matter how much you try to lift them up, they would not like to be uplifted. They would like to go towards declining, towards lower side, or they would stay at the level of meanness. They will never outgrow or overcome that situation. But a person who is really loved by Allah and loved by the creation is the person who always develops himself from better to better, from better to better. So this is the best example of the people of Bani Israel, that they had a natural orientation or tendency towards the mean side or towards declining. Bani Israel asked Hazrat Musa alayhi salam that we will not be patient at one food. Please make dua that he can
give us some vegetables, cucumbers, you know, dals, as we call it, onions, you know, wheat, garlic, etc. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam explained them, told them, you are getting so good food without any hard work, because if you want vegetable and these type of things, you have to plow the land, you have to plant, you have to irrigate, you have to look after, and then after a while you will get that food. But here you're getting everything ready-made coming to your doorsteps. And this is greater food. This is heavenly food. And you are going towards something which is lower. What is wrong with you? So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam explained Bani Israel. And when they did not accept, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam made dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the order came that, O Bani Israel, if this is what you want, if this is what you desire, then go to Misr, go to Egypt, and there you will find. So from Misr, it could mean Egypt, or it could mean any other city. So you leave this place where you are getting natural food, and fruits grow there, and the environment, the atmosphere is so healthy and so good. So leave this place, go somewhere else, go to Egypt, go to another city, and then go and work hard and grow these things and go help yourself. Also keep in mind that they ask for fresh produce of the ground, they ask for cucumber, they ask these type of things. This demand or this asking or this desire was not sin. But to leave a ni'mat or a bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal like manna and salwa and go towards these type of vegetables and grains and etc., this tells you the mean mentality of Bani Israel. They were always moving towards the lower side. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam, two prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, highly respected. They were always lifting them. They were always trying to make them realize that you are a human being and you are very special. And your place is in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Enjoy His bounties. Make shukr. But they would always run away each and every time after making so many efforts. Within few days, they will change and go back to disbelief, go back to disobedience. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهُمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ. Then poverty and humiliation and the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal was imposed upon them. And this happened because of this bad character of Israelis which they had. And the ghazab and the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal appeared on them in this way, that the status which they had because of their pious elders, that was taken away from them. So the heavenly food which was coming, that was taken away, and then they were put into hard work, physical work, go and grow your own food and eat. And also a mention is made in this ayah kareema that they used to kill prophets alayhi salam. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, and Hazrat Sha'ya alayhi salam, they were martyred unjustfully by these people. And they killed them for a fun, no reason.
till today could not give any reason why they killed Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, and Hazrat Shaya alayhi salam. So, as a summary, the crimes of Bani Israel were very severe, and they repeatedly, constantly keep on doing. When the azab comes, when the fear is there, when they are caught up in something, now they know they're in trouble, then they'll say, we repent and we come right and we're not going to do again. Please, Musa alayhi salam, please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. They were given so many chances, one after the other, but they would still not come right. From this story of Bani Israel, we Muslims must also learn that if we are honored, if we have great station and great status in the dunya, and if we have respect, we have that respect because of our connection with our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of his teachings, because of practicing upon his orders and his farameen. And this is clear evidence that when Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alaihim ajma'in's time was there, tabi'in, taba tabi'in, early period of Islam, Muslims were honored, they were respected, they were feared, their awesomeness was noticed. But today what happens? We are going further and further away from the teachings and from the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are going far away from the character of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the humiliation is coming towards us. If we want that humiliation to go away, and if we want us respect to come back, honor and dignity to come back, then there is one route for that. There is one road for that. There is one way for that. And that is, let's go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Irji'u ila Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Return back to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that's where your respect lies, and that's where your refuge is. And alhamdulillah, in the mahal and in the environment of Dawat Islami, this effort is being made. Let's go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's go back to our original characteristics. Let's go back to our roots. And our roots lie under the feet of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So wherever in the world you are, join Dawat Islami. Together we can bring the change. We can change ourselves and also make an impact upon Muslim communities and upon non-Muslim communities as well. And that can be a beautiful way of dawah and inviting non-Muslims towards the deen of Islam because of demonstrating and showing the beauty of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our desires and our wishes and our du'as. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
It's my plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam become more elevated than the red.